No? Okay. 1 Peter 5 and 8. After the service this morning, as we were going home, we got in a conversation. And Peyton put some points to my message that I really liked. So I was going to give him an opportunity to come up here and let him shine, but he's not going to take that opportunity. But I will share them with you because they're so good. I told him I was going to steal them because that's what messages are. You build on them over time. 1 Peter 5:1. If you weren't here this morning, what happened is we got in a story. We got in a lion fight. End of this church did. What it is we understand without Christ, the devil's a roaring lion, and we don't stand a chance. He will destroy us. He will devour us in no time. But we learned about a story about a man named Ben and I, and we called him Ben for short. That he had decided to go on the offensive one day. Because one, he wanted to work for the king. And sometimes you got to go on the offensive when you want to work for the king. Now, I'm not saying go reckless, crazy all the time and be in places that you know you're not supposed to be, doing things you're not supposed to be doing. But once God has called you to it, sometimes you got to go into the battles. Amen? But some points were brought up. And before I get into some leadership stuff tonight, I want to say this, and I am going to try to get into some leadership stuff for our WANA and for our youth and some stuff that we're... The reason you're here, our WANA program doesn't work through the summer, so I want to kind of preach into the leaders' lives. That way when we go back across the street, we're not just, being, willy-nilly. We're doing stuff for real, right? We're not just having a ministry here in this church or across the street in title only, all right? But anyway, I want to say that when you're facing a line, what we kind of titled our line is sexual problems, financial problems, money problems, and then what's another one? Power, right? Those three things, every man in here has dealt with those things. And I would say every woman in here has dealt with them, but I don't know how you women work, so shot in the dark on that one. But I'm having some feedback from some of you women, and y'all are saying, hey, we're on the same page, so I just take your word for it, all right? Well, I want to say this. With those three things in mind, if you add drugs and alcohol to those, it amplifies the problem. Amen? So the sexual thing, the money thing, and the power thing are amplified by drugs and alcohol. Is that correct? They make it more serious situation. They can spin the situation out of control faster. Is that correct? So I want you to know that that's one part of it. Me and Peyton were preaching in the car back and forth to one another, and man, he was excited and fired up. And he was saying something. He said, Dad, he said, once you come to that pit, when you get to that pit, you got to make a decision. You either got to get in or you got to stay out. I said, go ahead. I'm taking notes. Amen. He said, that lion, see, what happened is the lion had got in the pit on a snowy day, and we're talking about our problems had got in a contained situation. It'll be all right if y'all help me. It's because some of our situations, some of our problems, some of our issues can get into a contained situation, and we think we're okay. Amen? I've got my issue under control because it's in a contained place. It doesn't look like it's going to get out anytime soon. God, this is better than I thought it was going to be, Peyton. That's good preaching. But it's contained and it's under control for this moment. But when that lion gets out, if you don't destroy it, if you don't confront it, it's going to get out. And it's coming home. Amen? So he said, you got to make a decision. When you slide off in there to fight your giant, to fight your lion. And I said like this, every man in here has got a lion. Now, I want to say this. Some of us got a pride. Amen? And there's a whole other message. Some men's got some pride issues. Sorry. Man, preacher. Some people have got a whole pride. We didn't know we had a pride full of problems. We just knew one was standing out above all of them and roaring. Right? Peyton says, you got to make a decision. Once you slide down in there, now the fight is life or death. He said something like this. He said, that thing, when you get an animal cornered, woo! I said, man, son, I didn't know you was this good of a preacher. He said, once you get that animal cornered, he's going to fight for his life. But see, what it is our sin will fight for its life in your life. Man, you know what he said? He said, what's going to happen is, once you get down there, this is almost the end. You're about to kill that lion, but it ain't going to be good. Can y'all help me? Can somebody in here who's been through some real situations help me out right here? Because see, a lot of times we don't realize this, but if you're fighting a big sin or a big problem or a big issue in your life, right at the very end, yeah, it's about to be over, but that's when it gets bloody. That's when it gets messy. That's when it gets ugly. That's when usually everybody leaves. But you, your adversary, and God. And guess what you got to decide? Am I going to live or am I going to die? Amen? Am I going to live or am I going to die? Because that thing you've backed into the pit is going to fight for its life. Some of you in this room, I'm going to be honest with you, one service won't do this. One church meeting won't do this. I am just like you. I was excited. I went home and said, we had good church. But good church won't matter if it don't happen every single day. You think the devil is going to say, oh, Flat Top had great men's meeting. Oh, I'm done with them. You know what he's going to do? He said, you thought that was bad. I will wreak havoc in some men and women's lives now. Because you're right at the verge. This whole altar is filled up with men from one side or the other. And you came up here and you made some prayers and you made some promises and you talked to God. And the devil was sitting there going, well, you think that's the first blow? I'm going to come back and hit you hard. So next Sunday we're going to come back and we're going to hit it again. And the next Sunday after that, we're going to come back and hit it again. And the next Sunday, we're going to hit it again. And guess what? We might have to do some work for the rest of our lives on some of the lions that we don't even know exist. And that's not what I came to preach, but thanks for the message, son. He's a pretty good preacher, ain't he? We're sitting in the back, and his mom is interjecting. He goes, Mom, be quiet, be quiet. I was like, man, that guy's going to be a great preacher. You got it. Some of y'all got that. 1 Peter 5. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready to get into some leadership? How many of you, if you stand up, do you have any kind of leadership in this church? Does that mean, do you teach? Do you teach in Awana? Do you teach in a Sunday school class? Do you lead any kind of ministry whatsoever? Do you do feed ministry? Is there anything you do in capacity of leadership in this church? If you do that, will you please stand up? If you cook on Awana, if you drive a bus for Awana, if you do any of this stuff, okay, good. All right, the rest of you will just have to hang on, okay? Everybody sit down. Now, then I'm going to try to sharpen you guys up, okay, a little bit. Is that all right? Can I sharpen you up? Let's go home, then. All right, 1 Peter 5, let's get in. The elders which are among you, I exhort. That means I'm encouraging. I'm warning you. I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to do what I'm going to say. Who am I also an elder, a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. You know what? Peter starts out with a simple application of who he is. I exhort you as Christians. I encourage you as Christians to do more. You know why? Because it was revealed to me that Jesus Christ was crucified for my sins. That He was my replacement on Calvary's cross for my sins. Every sin that I had committed that was heaped onto Christ, and He died for my sins. And guess what? I am a partaker. I am a partaker of the second coming of Christ. He's coming back, and I can't wait for him to come back. But I'm not satisfied with one person getting saved, two people getting saved. I'm not satisfied with this church being a little bit on fire. I want a raging forest fire. Amen? I want people to be talking about us and people to come by and say, I can't believe that's going on in there. Amen? And you know how that's going to be happening? You've got to stoke it up inside of you. You got to take exhortation. You got to take somebody getting into your business and saying, hey, you know what? It's okay to have a church. It's okay to have an Awana ministry. It's okay to have a ministry doing this or that. But guess what? If it's just about having a ministry and title and you don't do anything in the ministry, then guess what? What you have is a title. It's a paper tiger. It's a paper champion. Amen? What we're about is we're about helping people, but we're about helping people on more levels than just feeding them. Are you ready? Oh, never mind. Let's get in the Word. Let's watch this. Watch. Verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Wonder where he heard that. This is Peter, by the way. I wonder where he heard that. Feed the flock. Y'all remember him having a conversation with Peter one day? After he had failed him on many levels? After he had took the whole group of apostles? The whole New Testament leadership bunch? He took them on a fishing expedition. He knew what he was supposed to do. Go to the upper room. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Instead, he says, I go fishing. Anybody want to go with me? Matthew the tax collector. Thomas the doubter. Amen? And everybody in between. I'll go. Why? Because I don't want to sit around in my misery. So they went fishing all night long. Have you ever... Golly, there's probably about four or five guys in here who really like to fish. I don't. I like to fish when I'm catching something. But if you take me fishing and we're not catching nothing, it's going to turn into a swimming adventure. So I'm just giving you a warning. And you've got about 45 minutes or we're doing cannonballs and swimming. And you're going to be mad that you took me because I got no patience for fishing, right? Well, guess what? These guys went out there and they're going to drown their troubles in fish, right? They're going to get rid of all their problems fishing. And guess what they did? They made it worse. They got out there and they cast their nets over and over and over until what? The resurrected Jesus Christ shows up. It's my favorite. It's probably one of my favorite places in the Bible because it's a boat full of men who have none of them in the boat are saying stuff like, remember that one time I did so great? Remember that one time I walked on water? Remember that time I got that kid with all them loaves and fishes? Remember that time? They are dead silent. The Bible is dead silent. You know what they sit out there and they said, we are a boat full of goofballs. I know some of you are super spiritual, but I'm not, okay? I'm not super spiritual sometimes. Sometimes I feel like a complete failure. Sometimes I can feel like a complete failure. And that can change from one part of the day to the next. Amen? I mean, I can leave somewhere and think, man, God is awesome. He is rocking my world. Hallelujah. By 4 o'clock, I'm like, man, I am a miserable failure. I'm just being honest with you. You know what God says? You can feel like a goofball, act like a goofball, and think, man, miserable, and sitting there just wore out with misery. And guess what? He shows up the next morning. Why is God super cool like that or what? He shows up after you've worn yourself out. Oh, my. I wish one of them would have been in the Bible and said, hey, Peter, can I get out? This stinks. But they're so miserable. And Jesus sometimes lets us just hang out in our misery sometimes to realize without Him, we would be miserable. My favorite part of the story, He rolls up on the shoreline and they don't recognize Him because the last time they seen Him, He was beaten beyond all recognition, hung on a cross, and they still can't get their mind wrapped around that He is alive. And He says from the shoreline, hey, you low-down, rotten scoundrels. Some of y'all already know this because I've preached it here before. Hey, you bunch of morons. right? Have you got any meat? He didn't say any of that, did he? Somebody said it. Who said it over here? He said, hey, children. Wait a minute. That'll mess somebody's doctrine up. Don't that mess people's doctrine up? The whole boat is full of people that denied him and are in the wrong place doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. And Jesus shows up and says, hey, children. Golly, we should have been a shouting bunch right there. He didn't say, hey, you used to be my children, but now you're on the outside of the family again. Hey, you bunch of adopted guys. What did he say? Hey, children, do you have any meat? Of course. And he always does this. He asks questions he already knows the answers to. Why? Where you can answer the questions. Do you have any meat? No, we've toiled all night long. We got nothing. All right, while you're out there, throw the nets on the other side, the right side. What kind of moron is this guy? Right? Once again, they went to tug, and then you know who done it. John the Revelator says, it's Jesus. Peter jumps out of the boat and runs to the shoreline. And we know the back and forth discourse with Jesus. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Lord, you know. You know what he was saying? You have the capability. The last time we had a conversation like this, Jesus, we were sitting in the upper room, and I said that I would go with you unto death, and you told me, it won't be tonight, you'll deny me three times. Amen? Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. He said, you knew my heart then, and you know my heart now. I love you. Every time, you know what he said? Feed my sheep. So then Peter, later on in 1 Peter 5, he's teaching us it's about feeding the sheep of God. Still, it's about that. Amen? But guess what? Peter learned something in the feeding of sheep. I'm hoping to transfer that from me to you tonight. Listen to what he says. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Is that fair? Is that what he learned? Listen to the next part. Taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Guys, this is what I want to teach you as a church. It's not just enough to be a church member. It's not just enough to be a member of this church. If you're a part of this church, you have to have your eyes and ears open, and you got to be willing to feed people the Word of God, a testimony, an encouragement. But then all of a sudden, you've got to take up the care of people. No, listen to what I'm saying. You got to take up the care of people sometimes. When you see them hurting so bad, you're going to have to say, I could give you a verse, I could give you a message, I can give you a lesson, or I can sit down and love on you. Or I can sit down and give you an opportunity to an open door or an open window. I can say I can meet you for coffee. I can meet you for lunch. I'm here if you need me. I know you can't. I can't fight your line for you, but I can fight your line with you. I've heard. I've seen. I've thought. And the Holy Spirit's placed some on my heart for you. Is there anything I can do to help you? And I know some of you, you work in a kitchen or you drive a bus or you do something, you think, I'm insignificant. There are people looking to you. You might see something that nobody else sees. You've got to be willing to say, you know what? I know I'm a cook. I know I'm a bus driver. I know that I'm not even teaching your class, but I see you. And I don't know what you need, and I don't know what you want, but I'm here. And if you need some help, I love you. I know I'm a teacher. I know that you look up to me as an adult. But right now, I just want to take some care of you. Is it all right? Listen, about 8 or 10 years ago, I didn't know what tomato farming was. Can I be honest? I still don't know what it is. Some of y'all, that's funny. It is funny. But I do know what it looks like when people are preparing to plant and raise tomatoes. Amen? I'm being honest. I can ride across the mountain and I can look out into a field and I can say, I know what that is. They've plowed their field. They've put some plastic down. they put some irrigation in there, and those look like tomato plants. Yep, they've staked them. And yes, they're growing. Those are tomatoes. Hey, guess what? They're green. I know I'm simple, but hey, guess what? I know a green tomato, and I know what that looks like. Oh, now it's red. It must be a tomato. I'm no farmer. I don't claim to be one. But I've had a little bit of experience now with what it looks like for somebody to plant a tomato field. So when I see somebody planting a tomato field, I can say, they're getting ready to plant. And they're going to get ready to reap. Amen? But I will say this, and I do know this one firsthand. I know what it looks like to sow a field of sin firsthand. And I have sowed some crops. Amen? And I have reaped some crops. And guess what? I hate to tell you this. There might be some more crops out there come due. I don't know. Oh, golly. Y'all are spiritual, but I won't tell you. Until you're dead, one of your crops can come home. Amen? Never mind. I'm just messing. But do y'all get that? When I see somebody who's sowing a field of sin, I can tell you what they're going to reap. So it's my job. It's my position. It's my place to come and sit down beside them and say, hey, I see what you're sowing, and I know what you'll be a reaping. Is there any way I can help you plow the field again? Amen? Is there any way that I can help you rework the field? Because your field, it's okay right now. Oh, never mind. It's okay right now. It looks all right. You're still planting. It's still good. It's still fun. It's still happening. But I know what you're going to reap. Listen, teachers. Listen, leaders. Listen, church. Sometimes it takes more than just coming to the building. You've got to get invested with people. You've got to sit down and give them an option and doors and opportunities to get well. I know what some of you are thinking. What if they mess it up? We all messed it up. We'll mess it up. But won't it be good to stand before God and have a few wounds in your life and a few hurts in your life where you help somebody get their field right? Y'all get it? Are y'all hearing me? I want you to see it. I want you to hear it. Because it's good. I love, man. I'm a preacher, man. I've been preaching for however long, since 2005. I've been preaching messages. I can preach. But I ain't much of a preacher if I can't sit down with somebody. I ain't much of a preacher if I can't love on somebody. If I see you going down, oh man, didn't you care? Hey, go on the web and pull up that message. That'll help you. Now, sometimes you're going to have to sit down, hold a hand, and say, guess what? We need to work through this. Now, if they get up and say, no, I don't want to work through it, guess what? You're off the hook. And man, you're off the hook. But it's better than not. It'll get messy. It'll get hard. But what if you save one? What if one makes it? What if one walks? What if one gets clean? What if one stops using? Amen? What if one starts getting their life straightened out? What if one person you ministered to during your Awana time, during your youth group, during your time at this church, what if one of them gets straightened up, but then you live long enough for see them to come in here and they've got kids? And they're holding their baby and they're saying, thank you. Look what you've done. You say, man, it looked like just one, but I'm being the dad I need to be. I'm being the mom that I need to be. I'm being the daughter I need to be. I'm going to be what I'm made to be now. Because it's more than just handing out pizza. It was more than just driving a van and picking up a kid at so-and-so address. When you see somebody, sometimes you're going to have to pull over and say, you know what? It's worth my time to slow down and minister to you. Some kid in some class. Well, I took this class because I wanted to be in here with this kid at this time. I don't know if I want to take it this year and the next year, da, 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 da. Guess what? When you get into ministry, you get in there to teach them something. But guess what? You're getting into people's lives. Ministry is not just a title that you wear for a year or 2 years. It's something you get in until you can't do it no more or God calls you home. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. That's good stuff, right? God just knocks you down. He said, I don't care how good you preach. I don't care how good you look. I don't care how much you do. He goes, can you be an example? Amen? I know some people who go to church and they're mean. Amen? I know some people who go to church faithfully every time the door is open, but they're mean. They say mean stuff. That's not an example. Amen? I know some people that could tell you verse by verse and line by line, but they can't walk it out. Amen? I know some people can preach some great message, but if they see you driving off the cliff, they're sitting there going, I don't know if I want to get dirty. I don't know if I want to get messy. Because if I mess with that person, I can get some dirt on me. I can lose some money and some time and stuff that I need. But then you got to look at Christ. He put everything on hold for you. Amen? I know, yeah, I went there. Jesus died for you. Yes, He came here for you. We can't just let people pass through our ministry and through our churches. We can't do it. We can't do it. God gave you eyes to see and ears to hear and hands to feet to move. You didn't just see that kid. You didn't just hear that story. You just didn't hear that thing for no reason. First, you need to pray about it. Then you need to talk to God about it. And then you need to have some action behind it and some action that makes sense. Oh, my gosh. Not some action that makes sense to you. I'll tell everybody about it. No, you tell God about it. You wait. And if God gives you an action, you take action. And you get involved. And you let them know. As long as you're working, I'll be working. As long as you're pulling, I'll pull with you. As long as you're trying, I'm trying. Amen? God, that's, never mind. This class is a lot deeper than you think. Amen? It's a lot deeper than you think. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's move just a little bit further. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Do you like that right there? What is it talking about? Where are we going to get our reward at? We want instant reward. We want stuff. Hey, I did this. That was great. You know what it's saying right here? Peter says, if nobody ever sees you, if nobody ever recognizes you, if nobody ever says, man, what a great job. I'm glad you went. I'm glad you did. What if nobody ever says a word, but you're standing in glory, and Jesus says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's a crown. I got one better than that, though. I don't care. I like the idea of getting crowns and stuff like that as much as the next guy. But I do like the verse that says, we'll cast those crowns before his feet. So I don't really care about wearing it. I just want to toss it. Can I interject here real quick with something real quick? It'll be all right. When I just said that tossing part, Johnny, we're coming back for our titles next year. I just want you to know that. Never mind. I just had to. Never mind. Never mind. Sorry. All right. So, but y'all see that when it, well, I'm going to toss it before the king. So he's. I want y'all to see this. When we're standing in glory. We're gonna give all of our glory to Him, right? I got one better than that, though. It's better than that. The people that you've ministered to that you didn't even know, that you never heard a word from, that never said nothing, who is standing in glory. The person that you took the time for, who's standing over there. Maybe a little kid from New Mexico. Maybe a little your neighbor. Maybe it's somebody who says, I never told you. I never said a word. I never told you that I gave my life to the Lord. You never seen it. You never got any recognition, but you loved me. You took the time to minister to me. You got out. You went out of your way, amen, and you found me. And why you did that, you walked away and you never knew that any of your work was doing any good, but I got saved, amen? And they'll be standing there in eternity with you, amen? That'll be worth everything, amen? That'll be worth everything. I'm going to be honest with you. I like crowns and I like levels. And people say, well, we're going to be in my mansion in glory. Listen, if it's never going to get dark and it's never going to rain, I don't even need a house. Amen? I'll be honest with you. Why would I need a house? Amen? And if I don't get tired and I'm never getting old, I mean, we're going, nobody, y'all good? Let's finish up. I hope this has been a help to you guys tonight. I hope it's just, I mean, I want better leaders, right? Better members of our church. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I'm going to stop right here, but I want to get a couple of points in before I do, okay? I want you to hear this. It's hard. Remember when He said, younger, submit yourself, right? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When everything's going wrong, humble yourself. When everything's going wrong, when everything's against you, on your worst day, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. What does that mean? Realize this. God is in control, and everything He's doing for my benefit. Sometimes you'll say, oh man, this guy, he's giving me a hard time. I'm having a hard time dealing with him, or I'm having a hard time dealing with her. God's working something out in your life. God, I got caught and lost my job. God's working everything out. You got to humble yourself. You got to put yourself totally under control of God. God, I don't know. Let's get us, because some of y'all are just like, oh, I'm good with that. Okay, guess what? There's going to be some things happen in this church. There's going to be some things happen. Your health's going to fail. Somebody you love's health's going to fail. There's going to be some trouble. Guess what? You're going to be sitting there going, God, where are you at and what are you doing? Then you still got to humble yourself. That means you've got to put yourself under control and totally rely on God. Get up under His authority and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I will remain under your authority. Y'all, this last part's good. But whenever you want to exalt me, whenever you want to lift me up, I'll be ready to be lifted up. Amen? You hear what I said? Who does the lifting? God does. Who does the humbling? Listen, guys, listen. If you'll just listen to me, this might be for the people that are in here. I want you to hear this. Sometimes the mature thing to do is put yourself under somebody else's authority that's under the authority of God. And whatever they tell you to do, you need to do it. Where they you can say, you know what? I can't trust myself, and I can't trust this situation, so I'm going to get into a place where even if they tell me the hardest thing, if they say something that'll hurt me to my core, I can trust that God is doing a work in me, so when He gets finished, that He can exalt me and I'll be better than I was. God put me in the worst working area of my life right before I went into full-time ministry. I was working at Shaw Plant 3, and I had two of the worst bosses that have ever been invented in boss time, whatever that is. I know, I couldn't think of a word. I had two really bad bosses. How about that? They were so terrible. They threatened my livelihood. They threatened to fire me. They threatened to do a lot of stuff to me, and they were miserable bosses. But I'd prayed and prayed and prayed, and God sent me there, and I was able to work ministry and work at this job at the same time. And I told my wife, who's sitting here, and I love her, I told her, I said, God's doing this. I'm taking this new job. First day, they went nuts on me. And I could tell you the whole story, but I'm not, but it was crazy. I came home and got in the floor. My face and carpet, you couldn't tell where one met and one ended. And I cried out before God, and I said, oh God, what have you done? And then my wife, I love her, comes in there. And she said, I thought you prayed about this. She did. We were young and fat, but I'm just saying it. Sometimes I looked at her and I said, I did. But I don't think God answered. I think somebody else did. This is insane. And for about a year and a half, I was the most miserable human being on the planet. Every single day, they had stuff coming out of my mouth and out of my mind that I thought, I'm going to kill somebody. Can I tell you what I told my boss one day? I told him this. I shut the door. And I leaned over the desk and I said this out of my mouth. I was Christian. I was a believer. I was a preacher. I leaned over the desk and I said, listen, friend. I said, before I got saved, I would have locked this door and one of us, you would not walk out of here. He said, are you threatening me? I said, I'm telling you a fact. You're messing with my wife and my kids and me. And I want to kill you. But I'm not going to. Because I love Jesus. And that's the only thing you got going for you. That's the only reason you should know there's a God, because I ain't killing you. And I walked out there and I thought, man, they're going to fire me for that one. No, they kept me on. And I went out to the break area over and over and over. And I would say, I don't like her and I don't like him and I don't like this. And I was mad and I was angry. And you know what? Finally, when I got to a place where I'd pray for them and pray for myself and God started working the stuff out, He said, the reason I put you there, Kevin, is I had some stuff I had to get out of you before I put you in ministry. And you acted like that in front of somebody you were trying to help. So sometimes you got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let Him agitate the stuff out of your life. And in that dark place and that hard place and that weird place, He'll get all the mess out of you. That way He can put you in some places and you can glorify Him, and it's not hypocritical. And it's not hypocritical. Amen? Because the last thing you want to do is tell somebody about Jesus and then be a failure or do some stuff in front of people that are so wrong. So you know what I say now? I tell Melissa this all the time. I thank God for Shaw Plant 3. It made me the preacher that I am. Because it got me to praying for my worst enemies. It got me loving people that I couldn't stand. And it got a bunch of junk out of me that I didn't even know still remained. Amen? So listen. If you're in a place right now, it seems like the Lord has put you in a place and you're scared and you're mad and you're frustrated and you're hurt, this is a good place for God to work on you. So just go ahead and get right up under the hand of God and say, God, I'll stay here until you're ready to turn that hand and lift me up with it. Amen? Let's all stand. Hope it's been a help to you.